2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The scripture says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Although mentioned only 3 times in the New Testament, Demas illustrates one of the most familiar tragedies in human experience, that of a fine beginning, but a very poor ending. He simply lacked the power to see it through. We can chart his gradual decline in God's Word. In Philemon verse 24, Paul said, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. Again in Colossians 4 and verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salute you. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It seems to me that would have been very difficult in the presence of the Apostle Paul. Surely Demas had come to love Paul to some degree. He had been in his presence, he had learned from him, and he was, if you please, practicing what this great apostle had taught him. And then all of a sudden, I don't know how he broke the news. It would have been extremely hard, I think. But somehow, he got the courage to stand before Paul and say, I'm leaving. I'm going back. There's something over there, wherever it may be, that I want to enjoy. And there's something I want to do. I don't want to be tied down any longer with having come to church every Sunday. There are certain things I would like to indulge in that my friends are doing. And for some reason, I just feel like it's time for me to make a change. I have every reason to believe in my own heart that Paul did everything in his power to cause him to change. Paul must have begged, he must have talked. He must have pointed out how foolish such a decision was and where it would eventually lead. But Demas was determined to do what he wanted to do. You know, in the realm of life, certainly starting power is not the same as staying power. There are a lot of ships that set sail but never reach the port. There are a lot of marriages that begin and unfortunately they end tragically. This is true of individuals, I believe, as well as the church in general. I believe that great challenges lie ahead for the church as we embark on the future. And the question is, will we be able to stay the course and be successful? Or shall we forsake the Lord and His Word? Is it possible that the end will be worse than the beginning? It certainly was, at least for a time, in Ephesus, because they were commanded to repent and do the first works. It was that way in Sardis, because the Bible said you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And tonight, I don't think any of us can ever be satisfied with ourselves, either individually or collectively, and please the Lord, because satisfaction always breeds complacency. And for that reason, we must move forward and never look backward. And that raises an important question. What must the church do to stay the course? And what must you do and I do as an individual to stay the course? I believe that each Christian must desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and to climb higher on the ladder of perfection, to draw closer to God every day as we learn and as we develop. And surely Demas failed here. For some reason, Demas didn't make any progress every day. He did for a while. He evidently was a joy to Paul because Paul mentioned him twice and indicated that he was a joy and he was successful. But for some reason, the starting power didn't remain. And as a result, he gradually drifted away. Instead of engaging in the renewal process, he ceased to grow and spiritually fell to the wayside. Don't you know someone like that tonight? I'm talking to some people, I'm sure this evening, you don't have the same power and desire you had when you first obeyed the gospel. And you're gradually drifting. And before long, if you're not careful, you'll drift too far from the shore. And like Demas, you're going to fall in love with this present world and you're going to turn your back on Jesus Christ. I tell you, every Christian and every congregation needs a revival fire that burns deep in your heart, a fire that never goes out and never allows you to get very far away from God and from His Word. In Ezekiel 3 and 18, the Scripture says, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." There are many people who fail to honor this passage. There are people tonight who need you. They need your instruction. They need your guidance. They even need your warning. And to just sit back and say, "I wonder what's happened to him or what's happened to her. I wish I knew what to do." Go to them. When you see a Demas developing in the congregation, go to them and talk to them. Pray with them. Do whatever you can to wake them up spiritually so that they can be what the Lord wants them to be. We who enjoy salvation, the light of eternal truth, must always share it with other people. No wonder Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I believe we need to renew and display the joy of salvation every day of our life. We often hide our joy and excitement, it seems to me. It seems as though we go along day after day and year after year, and we don't have any excitement. We've lost all that. We drag ourselves to church maybe on Sunday morning and no time else, or no other time. If we have a gospel meeting, if we haven't planned a vacation and are gone all together, we try to come a night or two. You know, we're not experiencing the joy of our salvation. And as we fail to do that, we get into this path that evidently Demas got into. The Bible says he fell in love with this present world. I believe that's the same world in 1 John 2. "Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world and the lust thereof passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever." When we find ourselves drifting in that direction, or we see people in the church drifting in that direction, it's time to do something. Then, maybe somehow, if someone had gotten to Demas sooner, things would have changed. We don't have any record to indicate Demas ever came back to the church. We don't know where exactly he went geographically when he left the Apostle Paul. We do know where he was headed because his heart seemed to be set on ungodly living for some strange reason. How do people who at one time loved the Lord, obeyed the gospel, and lived for a period of time serving the Lord, how is it that somehow they began to grow cold? And the first thing you know, they're gone. And then when you talk to them, they say, "Well, you know, I've just lost interest in the church. There are just some other things that I want to do." That's what Demas wanted to do. I don't know exactly, I can't pinpoint exactly what Demas wanted to do, but I do know it was something that took him away from the Lord. It was something that took him away from godly living. You know, the record says in the 51st Psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you." You know, David, after his sin, had gone into a state of deep melancholy. He had been forgiven, but I'm not sure he forgave himself, at least in the early stages of his return. He found it difficult to live with his conscience and what he had done. And this is his prayer: "Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit, and then will I teach transgressors your ways." You know, one reason maybe you're not teaching transgressors, one reason maybe you're not inviting people to church or living the kind of life that you ought to live, is because you've lost the joy of your salvation. I think Demas lost the joy of his salvation. Somehow, even though in the presence of the great Apostle Paul, he lost the joy of his salvation, and he began to slide in the opposite direction. That took him farther and farther away from God. I'm going to say something now, and I want you to think about it. There are some Demases in the audience tonight. There are some people in this audience tonight who've gotten away from God, and you need to get back. And there are some people in this audience tonight who have listened to the siren song of the singers. You've seen the joy that television seems to exhibit, the joy of sin. And in the back of your mind, there's a yearning and a longing maybe for a lifestyle that you know is wrong. But you're being drawn in that direction. You can't tell me Demas didn't know that. Demas knew it was wrong to leave. And he knew where he was going was wrong. But the power of sin was great enough to allow him to bury it in his heart. And he left. Don't you leave. Don't you follow. Boys and girls, listen, you young people. The world will offer you almost any blessing your mind can conceive of. Unfortunately, the devil never pays off in the currency he advertises. But at any rate, anyway, he will offer it to you. And it's yours for the taking. If you're in this audience tonight and you're drifting farther and farther away from God, your interest in the church is sagging. You don't attend like you used to. You let things come between you and your service to God. You have excuses for why you missed there Wednesday night, or why you weren't there during the meeting, or why you had to stay at home on Sunday. Listen, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to realize that you're traveling a road, a very slippery slope, that will take you down currently and destroy you eternally.